Hello! From the studio in Nitro, West Virginia, this is Unreasonable Doubt. It's a podcast about West Virginia University basketball. I'm Josh Witt. Has it been quiet in the last 2 weeks? Yeah, pretty quiet for WVU basketball. NBA finals are in full swing. That's a fun series. But WVU basketball, pretty quiet. But I've got news on the roster front. Abraham Oyadir. I know I'm butchering that. I feel like I'm close, though. He redshirted last year for the previous coach at WVU. News in the, I think this was last week, quietly returned from the transfer portal to the Mountaineer roster. So similar to Kerr Creasa two off-seasons ago, entered the transfer portal, then came back. Didn't announce it. He just showed up on the WVU basketball website. And technically, you don't have to announce, well, you know what? What's the big deal? I mean, Abe's returning. That still means 0% of the minutes come back, 0% of the scoring from the last roster. But Ross Hodge did retain a player. He got one, and it was Abe. So he ends up with 15 guys on the roster. You're not going to see this on the Ken Pomeroy computer or when you go to College Basketball Reference, but he will retain almost 7% of the roster by bringing Abe back into the fold. Will Abe see the floor this season? I mean, he redshirted, so didn't really see any action from him. I guess you can go to high school highlights, but how do you know? How do you know the guys who have played 4 years or 3 years of college ball that have transferred to WVU, how they're going to translate to WVU in Big 12 play? He's had a year at college and a year of practicing. And I'm guessing he was playing against Amani, and he was playing against Ed, and he was playing against Harris. So he's got reps as a redshirt. I think he'll have the Harris break glass in case of emergency spot for this upcoming roster. Like, Harlan's in foul trouble. Lorient's in foul trouble. Hey, Abe, get in there for a few minutes. Burn some minutes for us. That might be his role. Maybe he could have something more. But at the beginning of the night, West Virginia adds another big to the roster, and it's always good to have more bigs than two, which is WVU currently has. Now they have three, bringing Abe back. So that's one bit of news. That's good. Retention. And then the other news, the other 10 off-season additions, we're not counting Abe since he went to the portal and came back. The other 10 guys, they all have officially signed with the Mountaineers. So we were in that kind of weird territory of seven have been announced. The other guys haven't been announced. Not that there's concern there, but it's not done until it's done. And they finally trickled in here recently. The last three guys, Jaden Forsythe, the freshman, Morris from South Carolina. I'm not going to try to say his last name. And then Chance Moore. And Chance Moore is the wild card here, right? Like, he has played 4 years of college. He needed a waiver from the NCAA. And I guess the case was, hey, yeah, my freshman year, I played four games or five games sprinkled throughout the season, but I played 8 minutes total. Hey, does that count? Did that year at Arkansas count? Are you really going to count that, NCAA? And when WVU announces that Chance Moore is signed, most people would feel good about Chance's. See what I did there? To get the waiver. But this is West Virginia University men's basketball. And in recent history, waivers getting granted has been few and far between. And what example do you want me to give? Omar Silverio He asked for a waiver, and the NCAA not only denied it, but said, hey, man, you're out of eligibility. Scram. Jose Perez, he had to sit out the whole season at WVU, then ended up transferring to Arizona State. Raekwon Battle asked for a waiver. That got denied, and then he sued the NCAA, and that was kind of a big deal, and ended up playing. But that's our waiver history, is Battle versus the NCAA. Hey, get out of here, Omar. You're done with college basketball. And hey, you got to sit out this season. Goodbye to the transfer portal for Jose. So at the beginning of the night, WVU fans do have a right to be cynical when they say, hey, Chance has signed. He just needs a waiver, right? But are you sitting down? Are you driving a motor vehicle? You might want to pull over for this news. Just a few days after Chance officially signed, WVU was able to announce that Chance Moore's waiver was approved by the NCAA. He is eligible for his one remaining season that he will spend with WVU. So we broke the streak. The curse is over. Chance is in. And Chance is kind of a one-of-one on this roster. He can play the two. He can play the three. According to Ken Pomeroy's computer, he's logged some minutes at the four. He's not a sniper, so definitely not a three-point shooter like some of the guys who play guard on this roster. But he loves to attack the rim, especially in transition. He gets a lot of blocks on defense. You know, at the beginning of the night, he gives Ross Hodge a lot of lineup options this coming season. You can play small with Chance at the four. You can play him at the three. And while he's technically listed as a guard, he's a swing guy. He can play many positions, and he gives you an inside presence that you don't have a ton of. Again, as mentioned, just three bigs. But he can log some minutes inside and help out with Jackson Fields as far as minutes underneath. So I really like, of any guy to get a waiver, Chance is high up there as far as what he can contribute to this upcoming year. So I'm excited for that news. And we all should be, because it adds to the roster, of which Ross Hodge has 11 guys. And he's got 15 roster spots. That's the max. So he still has four spots he can fill. And I don't know where he's going to go. What else could this roster use with those four spots? And listen to the episode with Andrew Corbett from 24/7 Sports, earsports.com. He thinks another true point guard could help the cause. Obviously, if you get another big man, that would help. Hodge has some opportunities, and it may be one or two of those. Could that be the next Jake Auer / Spencer Mackey role of, hey, spot minutes at the end of the game? Jake Auer was even more elevated than that. But is there a role for a walk-on that could do that? Will any of these late additions, guys who are not on the roster currently, will they make significant contributions for the Mountaineers? It seems doubtful, like the late ones. I mean, Harris Elizabeth, he officially signed in September of last year. So that's late. That's like school started commitment. Still in time to play basketball, and Harris did make contributions before he transferred out. But he was the break glass in emergency. Amani and Ed are struggling with foul trouble. So with him signing in September, we're at 11. It might be a few months before Ross Hodge rounds out this roster.
The holidays sneak up fast, but it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful, with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. You're listening to this podcast, you're a WVU fan, you go to Uncommon Goods, Type in West Virginia University. They've got drinking glasses. They got a throw pillow. They got, you can get a cheese board in the shape of West Virginia. All sorts of cool stuff. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/musket. That's uncommongoods.com/musket for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
While there's not a ton of news for WVU basketball, on the day of this recording, big news for college basketball. This is the time of year. I'm guessing at this. I don't know if it's actually the time of year. But today, the NCAA confirmed some rule changes for the upcoming season. And there's always a handful, you know, points of emphasis. That's a different story. But with this, the rule changes, in theory, are going to help the game. And nobody would argue that there's nothing to be done on the flow of the game, how the game of college basketball is officiated. So let's get into it. The big one is coaches' challenges. I know you're going to miss the times, in theory, where the last 2 minutes of a game takes 45 minutes. I might be exaggerating, but it sure feels like that when you're watching it. It really is a bummer. And it's a bummer even more so in the building when you've got a million stoppages and refs going to the monitor time after time for out of bounds calls. I mean, it wears you out. Similar to the NBA, coaches will get one challenge a game. You got to have a timeout to challenge. And if you win the challenge, you get one more to use for the game. And this is a weird rule. If Doug Sermons is a ref, each team gets one additional Doug challenge, which is kind of neat. And a shout out to Doug Sermons. That's pretty cool. Here's what you can use the challenge on. Out of bounds calls, great. Goaltending calls, great. Block charges only to determine where the guy's at, like if you're in the restricted circle or not, to swing the blocker charge. Those are the reasons you can challenge. So you're not challenging any specific foul outside of that block charge call in the restricted circle. With the idea being, with those things going to challenges, any other out-of-bounds calls or whatever, and you don't have a challenge, then you keep it moving. Does this mean that there's going to be more missed calls? Yes. Will there always be missed calls, even with replay? Yes. But at the beginning of the night, you just want the game to flow better. And hopefully this accomplishes this. Will the NCAA get this right? Who's to say? But I think it's a fair rule change to make, and let's see if it does, in fact, make it not purgatory for games that are really close and really fun. It does not help the tension, and it does not help the game by... All right, it's the fifth monitor trip in 1 minute of gameplay. And that's not an exaggeration. That happens. So if this rule eliminates that, I think that's a win. NCAA also following suit with the NBA on and ones. You can get an and one on a continuation, meaning that if you get fouled and you've already picked up your dribble, before, you just could have an and one when you're attempting the shot. With this, you can keep going after you picked up your dribble and got fouled and get an and one. Will, you know, that seems like a good idea, but on the flip side, it's another thing for a college referee to keep track of that they didn't have to before. So will they get that right? We'll find out. Is that something you can challenge? I don't think so. Will you want to? Yes. Here's my concern on the challenge. And I'm seeing this in the NBA playoffs. It is the amount of people that are swirling their fingers in the air when they don't think a call is right. Like the immediate swirl. Like before instant replay, when somebody swirled their finger in the air like that, it's only because they were riding a bull. The only reason you were swirling your finger in the air like that, you had a cowboy hat, you're very familiar with the George Strait catalog, and you'd seen that movie with Dylan from Beverly Hills 90210, 8 seconds, whatever that was called. And now, I would rather the Tim Duncan eyes bulging out of the head of like, I can't believe you called a foul on me. The pleading, the, hey, it's a foul, and you start running, you start sprinting to the other side of the court. All of those are annoying, but they're not as annoying as run it back. Because guess what? And this is my perspective on seeing this happen. When a person immediately says run it back and does the rodeo swirl, most times they're dead wrong. It's just a reaction. It's just run the tape. And if this rule change, so I'm actually going to backtrack within a few minutes. If this challenge rule change leads to more rodeo finger, I don't think it's a good rule. I'm game. You know what? Why? They're coming out with the Apple Vision Pro, I'm hip. I know technology. They got the Meta Quest goggles. They got the Ray-Bans that's got technology in it. Why can't we just everybody wear those goggles and have instant replay immediate instant replay in the goggles? Rec spec instant replay. Now, that's a rule I'm behind, but I'm anti-rodeo finger. I do not like that.
Unreasonable Doubt is under the Smoking Musket umbrella. Go to smokingmusket.com. Read posts about WVU sports, daily throwdown. Check that out. Go to the Discord. We're talking about WVU sports and other stuff on the Smoking Musket Discord. Link for that is in the show notes. Listen to West by Pod, the WVU football podcast under the Smoking Musket umbrella. Do all that stuff. Smoking Musket.
Another change, the JT Toppin rule, where in that game versus Houston that Texas Tech ended up winning, by the way, in Houston, JT Toppin, not on purpose, kicks a guy in the groin. And apparently the options were either call a normal foul or it's a flagrant two, get out of here. And given those choices to JT Toppin, they said, get out of here. Grant McCaslin got kicked out for arguing that call. And they went to the drawing board and said, hey, you know what? How about let's give the option for a flagrant one if somebody gets kicked in the privates. So that's a rule change. We'll call that the JT Toppin rule. And then I think there's a rule change that's aimed at the Coliseum. There's a shot clock rule change. And the rule there is, in the past, if one shot clock went down, you'd have to shut both off to keep it fair. Now, if one goes down, you can keep the good one on. This might be the Ed Cooley rule. Because remember, he lost his mind when West Virginia was fooling around with the shot clocks and then malfunctioning in the Georgetown game. And it just took, what takes longer than setting up one temporary shot clock? Setting up two to put on the floor. And so this rule is, if one's working, keep it working, set up another one. Yeah, it's not fair, but we got planes to catch. We got things to do. Let's keep it moving. So congrats to West Virginia and the Coliseum for being an agent of change in college basketball. So we'll forget these rule changes between now and November, but it's June and it's exciting to talk about rule changes. But please, no, please don't let there be more rodeo finger. I don't like that. But definitely rec spec is a replay. It's 2025. We can do it. Let's make it happen. That's it for this episode. Or robot refs. Like the Star Wars fans, like the C-3PO that was on a rolling ball. You know what I'm talking about? Like three of those? Or maybe you just need one of those. But if you put that and then just put black and white stripes on it, that's it for this episode of Unreasonable Doubt. Listen on all the platforms or just pick one. Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Overcast Podcasts, YouTube. Until next time, I'm Josh Witt. WVU for the 2025-2026 season. They have 0 wins and they have 0 losses. Correction on rodeo swirl finger. And apologies to all those baseball fans out there. The swirly finger is for a home run. So my apologies, missed that. Thank you for listening.